I do greet you in the precious name of Jesus. It's a beautiful Lord's Day morning. Thankful for the opportunity to gather here in this way and do thank you, brothers, for the word that was spoken here this morning and the encouragement to my own heart, and just the truth of the Word of God, and the those thoughts and the faithfulness of God, and that example, Brother Cleet, just thinking in, on the goodness of God that we have His Word. He has revealed Himself to us through His Word, and what a blessed opportunity we have! What a privileged people we are, and what a holy responsibility that lies upon us with what God's entrusted to us. And I know that if you're like me this morning, why you're probably here this morning, and your feelings probably aren't quite where you'd like them to be. A lot of the time, we tend to kind of go by our feelings. Know that probably most of us are just feeling a burden this morning, and no, I have been thankful for the word that was brought to us this morning, and thinking about the situation and just trusting God. And I think of the song we just sang about Father, we lift our hands to you. That's truly the case this morning, isn't it? It's maybe a little more real to us this morning than sometimes when we sing it. The situations in life tend to do that. And I thought of the verse in Peter. It says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." Arm ourselves with the same mind. And know that we think about those things, and it's easier to talk about those things than it is to do it. To arm yourself with a mind that there'd be a willingness to suffer for Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, there's a lot on my heart this morning. I had a message on my heart to share today, and with the events of yesterday and last evening, and I wasn't sure what the Lord would have me to share this morning. Maybe we could just stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, we do bow here before you this morning. We come to you in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace this morning. You have told us that we can come to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We do look to you this morning, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to gather, Lord. There's a blessing. We just sense a blessing in coming together in times of trouble, Father. And we do thank you this morning for the opportunity to come together, to seek you together, to sing together, to pray together. I just thank you, Father, that we can do this morning. And we do continue to pray the situation in Haiti, and as has already been prayed this morning, Father, may your will be done, Lord. We do pray this morning that we just continue to lift up, Father, those the men who have done this thing. We continue to lift them up to you, Father. We know that their very lives, though they may not realize it, their very lives hang upon your mercy this morning. And, oh Lord, they, as it were, hang over an awful pit, Father. And we do pray that you'd be merciful to them this morning. Lord, your word tells us to love our enemies, Father. And we realize that we're a lot of miles away, Father. There's not many ways in which we can show love to them, Father, but we pray for them this morning. We ask, Father, that you'd be merciful to them, Father, that you would bring them to understanding, Lord. We pray that you would open their eyes, Lord. Bring them to salvation, Father, this morning we pray. Lord, we realize that when Christ died, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, Father, he died for them too, Lord. And we ask that you would realize that they may be a people who've not had the privileges and opportunity that we have had. And we lift them up to you and we ask, Father, that you would convict them, Lord, today, that the deeds, their evil deeds would weigh heavy upon their shoulders, Lord, that you would bring them to repentance, Lord. We ask for your guidance and direction here with the message, Father, and I pray for your blessing upon our assembly here this morning. We do thank you for the opportunity. We thank you especially for your word this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Some time ago, 6 months or so, maybe, I'm not sure, I was reading through the Gospel of John and meditating on the word, but there was a question that came to my heart, and it may sound like a very simple question, it may not make sense to you at first, but I was reading the Gospel of John, and I was asking myself the question, who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? You ever ask that question? Who is this man that is called Jesus Christ? Who is this person? Who is this being? Who is he? There was a man who came and walked upon this earth, and he walked here in the form of a man, and he was called Christ. He was called Jesus. His name was called Jesus. And time itself stopped for this man. As it were, the calendars, our calendars are dated from this man. The time is dated from before him to after him. And Marlon was talking to us about this morning that these things are without question. Well, that's another one. That's another one. Time itself split for his presence here. But who was this man? And there's a burden that's on my heart many times, and I know that's been expressed here in the last few Sundays, at least maybe the last three Sundays. It's been messages about deception, deception of sin, the deception of apostasy. Last Sunday, Brother Nate was talking about the deception in understanding. And so this is maybe along a little different line, but as I look across the room here, I look across the children, I see a lot of young people, and unfortunately, there is in the world today, in the world of what is called Christian, there's a lot of deception, and I know that we're aware of that here. And Jesus warned. Jesus gave this warning one day. Jesus gave this warning that when they say, "Here is Christ," or when they say, "There is Christ," he said, "Don't go." When they say that he is in the desert, well, don't go. And amazingly, we live in a day when those very things are happening. And many, many fail. And I don't want to, you know, I know this can sound very overly simplistic, and I realize that I'm going to speak on things this morning that are very simple and very basic. But the best guard against deception is to know the truth. It's to know the truth. And we need to know Him. We need to know Him. We need to know, who is Jesus Christ? Who is He? How do I know Him? What can I know about Him? Who is He? And there's no need for anybody to run hither and yon to find Christ. There's no need for that. The word is nigh thee. And so I'd like to perhaps, I don't know how this will go, but I felt led here maybe to preach a few messages here from the Gospel of John. I don't know how many or how this will go. And I probably won't get very far this morning. It seems like the events of yesterday were caused me to, seemed to be very distracting for me. I don't trust the Lord with all that. But many think that they follow Christ, and I realize that I'm probably speaking some very basic things here this morning, so I don't feel like I'm going to be sharing new things to you. But the scriptures warn us. The Apostle Paul wrote about, in his day, he wrote about false Christs. He warned the Galatians that they had taken on another gospel, he said, which is not a gospel. And so those things are real. They have been. There's been a counterfeit. And so the scripture, Jesus warned against seeking signs. He said it's an evil and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. And yet, it happens all the time. There's that desire that we have in the flesh, that appeals to the flesh, that we desire experiences and signs to confirm the faith, but it's fleshly, and it's carnal. It's of the flesh. There's a seeking of experiences. And, you know, our walk with the Lord is an experience. I don't want to make light of things that people have experienced. It's not, I don't want to do that. And yet, maybe just to make things more clear, you know, I know that sometimes we use the term that someone had an experience. Well, I want to be careful how I say this, because that can be, they may have repented and been born again. That is an experience. However, many times it's just an experience. Maybe it was an emotional experience. Maybe it was whatever. I believe that there's a lot of counterfeit that happens through music. There's a lot of counterfeit that happens because I know that most of you have heard teaching on music, so I won't belabor the point, but God sings. The scripture teaches us that God sings. And we are musical. We are musical creatures. There's something about music that is good and right in it, and it resonates with us. However, the devil is also a musical creature. He was a master musician. He was a master musician. And so then in music, then we have music that builds and feeds the spirit, and then we have music that originates from the devil that feeds the flesh. And many times I think people simply get confused as to what their experience is. And so Harold Dean Miller tells the story of, and I know some of you have heard this, but he tells the story of of a young lady who was being convicted of things that were happening in the church that she was in, and she was realizing that things were not well, and so instead of going into the front where they were all the commotion was, she would go with her brother who was operating the sound booth, and so her brother was she was in a sound booth with her brother, and her brother said, "Watch this," and he said, "It takes about 37 seconds," so he began to turn up the music, and as he turned up the music, the excitement began to mount, and the spirit came, and then he said, "Now watch this," and he turns it down, and the spirit seemed to leave, and he said, "We can't do that too long," as he turned it back up. But so that's the extreme. I realize that's the extreme. But what I'm talking about here is all of those people would be completely convinced, and there's others in here that could tell us more about this, completely convinced that they were experiencing Jesus. That's the point I'm trying to make. Convinced that this is Christ. This experience that I'm having is Christ. And not knowing the difference, not knowing that it's not Christ. It's simply an evil spirit operating through music. And so the question is this morning then, who is Christ? Who is he? Do I know him? Have I found him? Have I met him? Is he the one I'm following? Within, I'm not here this morning to cause doubt or anything like that. So in Matthew 16, Jesus asked a question, and we'll be turning to John chapter 1 here in a moment. You don't have to turn to this. I know you're familiar with this passage in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, Jesus looked at his disciples, and he asked his disciples, saying, Who do the men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It's a few things that we'd like to take note here. There's many people today that would say this, would answer the same way. They would say, "Oh, he was a prophet. He was a good man. He was a prophet." Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, and he said, "Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, Jesus said to him that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. It is not through our flesh. It's not through our senses, it's not through our feelings. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but it's a revelation from God to the Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. And so we'll move on here. Maybe it could be said that the most important thing about any of us is our answer to this question: who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? And who is he? Who is Jesus Christ? What is our view? What is our do we know him? First Corinthians 12:3 is a passage that I've been meditating on, and that I don't know that I fully that I understand, but we'll read it here. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says this, that "Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." It's a sobering thought. I was meditating on that. That no man can, and the Amplified would say, no man can say Jesus is my Lord except by the Holy Ghost. No man can though we choose and though we though it is a choice that we make, except God help us, we will never fully surrender to Him. Except He helps us. Except the Spirit of God is working in us. And that's a humbling thought. A humbling thought. No man can say Jesus is my Lord except by the Holy Ghost. And I've been asking myself that question. Is He my Lord? Is He my Lord? Is He my Lord in all things? Is He my Lord? That's my desire. That's where I want to be. Well, we'll read here in John chapter 1, the first 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so this morning, I'd like to share just a few thoughts on the first verses here. And I like to share this in humility because I realize that my understanding is very limited. When we begin to talk about God, and Marlon was just talking about God this morning, and I realize that our knowledge of God is very limited. It's very small. Yet He has revealed many things to us about Him, about Himself, and about who He is. And that's what we want to. So I just pray that the Lord would give us understanding as we share a few thoughts here this morning. And some of this is very basic. I was thinking about foundations for our children. That's actually what I was thinking about. Just foundations, fundamental truths. But also encouragement for us, for the days in which we live. And so this morning will probably just be a little bit of an introduction here, probably be just a short message. But the Apostle John is writing here, and I didn't look up the year in which he wrote this, but I don't think that John is writing this in the soon after he met the Lord. I see that John's writing this looking back, as he looks back and as he looked on the things that he had learned, the things that he had seen, the things that they had experienced. And he's looking back, and in his understanding, he writes these words. And part of the Gospel of John is historical, but much of what John writes is his personal interaction with Christ. But John writes here, and on the first three verses, he starts by... And this is what we will simply focus on this morning for a little bit here. But he starts on focusing on that Christ was God. And he begins to just set forth his divinity, that Christ was God. And I know that we believe that here, and I don't believe there's anyone here that doubts that. And yet, as I look at my life, do I live that way? Do I really, is that a reality in my heart? I've always believed that. That Christ was the Son of God, in a sense that I believed it mentally. So we'd like to consider a few thoughts here. In verse 1, it talks about the Word, and in verse 3, it talks about Him being our Creator. And now we'll focus on those two things this morning, and then we'd like to make a few applications. But John says here, in the beginning, and And I don't know what you think about when you think of in the beginning, but John is using the word beginning there, but that was before there was a beginning. There wasn't a beginning. There was a beginning when the earth was created, and we read that in Genesis. But in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of creation, the Word already was. The Word already was. And he says the Word was with God. He always was. Now just, young people, you'll run into that question. As you go through life, you'll run into that question. Well, where did God come from? Who created God? And you run into those things. And there's a very simple answer. And I would just encourage you to a humble faith that he was. That's what the Bible says. He was. God was. He always was. The scripture tells us that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'd like to focus a little bit here on this word. Word. This is a word. Word with a capital W. This is a word is speaking of Christ. It's another word for Christ. One of the names of Christ. The Greek word here is logos, and to the best of my understanding, this word logos it means more than just a instruction, or more than just a sentence. It means the entire thought, or the whole intent, or the everything that's involved. Nate could say we're going to build a house. That would be a word. That would be a statement. That would mean something. But within that statement, there is all kinds of truth. There is all kinds of details. There is all the details that would go into building that house. And I think that's what the word logos is. It's all of it. The will of God. In the beginning was the Word. And you know, we just stopped there. In the beginning was the Word. That's where things started. And may that be good enough for us. May that be good enough for us. That's not talking about that in the beginning there was a book. I don't believe that's what it's talking about. In the beginning there was a book in heaven with God. I don't think that's what that means. It's talking about the living Word. It's talking about Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. It says he was with God, and that word was God. That word was God. In the beginning, it was with God. It was God. That word. The intent or will of God, all of it, all of the will of God, not just the printed. What we have here is. I was thinking of that, and I was thinking, you know what we have here is the condensed word. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't want to. It's everything we need. It's not. There's not anything missing, but everything is not spelled out here. We need the Holy Spirit to apply it and to live it out. And I'd like to illustrate that. I'd like to just illustrate that. The Bible tells us that he made the stars also. One sentence. That's what the Bible says about stars. And yet, if someone were able to write out the engineering, the mathematical equations of the entire universe, and if someone were able to write that all out and put it into books, and I wonder. And we know it's not possible. But how many books would that be? I mean, how many books would it be to that would the prints for the entire universe, just the blueprints? And I think of that. But that was Christ. That was Jesus Christ. Just all of it. He the entire will of God, and that's just the universe. The Bible tells us that he created man from the dust of the earth. And I wonder, you know, it's just a simple sentence, right? And we believe that. But what about the how much could be written about this creation as God formed him and created the I don't know how many cells of his body, and as God created the just everything. Scientists still haven't figured it all out. They still don't know what all's involved, what all the human body is. And yet there was Jesus Christ, all of that. And we don't need, what about the soul? We know so little about the soul, and yet Jesus Christ, just all knowing, just knows all of that completely in its entirety. I'm just using this as illustrations as to, I'd like to help us understand the Word. That's what the Bible's talking about here. The Word was God. The Word. We'd like to make it more practical. When the Bible gives us a simple commandment like love your enemies, just a simple commandment, and well, it's simple enough to understand, it's simple enough to know that this is something we do or practice, but who can know everything that's attached to it? Who can know the consequences if we do or if we don't? Who can know the eternal things that will happen if we just simply do what he said? And trying to just paint us a picture here that when we talk about Christ being God, when we talk about that, we're just very limited. We can only get a glimpse, a little picture, and we don't. There's so very little that we know. We could take any of the other commandments that the Lord gave us, and the beautiful thing about it is I'd like to teach, just illustrate this to our children, that when we simply enter into those commandments by faith, when we simply do what he says, all of that wisdom, all of that understanding, all of that that is in Christ, we enter into that. Just by simple obedience, just by simply doing what he says. And the Word, the power of that Word of God begins to work on our behalf. It's amazing. It's amazing what God has done for us. I don't know today what of this Adam understood before the fall. I don't know if he was created in the image of God. I don't know if his understanding was there or not. I don't know. I don't know that. But today, in our fallen condition, in our fallen state, God has given to us wisdom, all of his wisdom in simple teachings and simple commandments. And if you walk this way, I'll be with you. And all of the power, all of his power is behind and for us. When things happen like did yesterday, suddenly our helplessness starts to become a little more evident. A lot of times we just don't feel it like we ought to. Things like this can be encouraging. Secondly, when we talk about, we'll come back to some illustrations or some applications to what we just shared there at the end. But secondly here, in verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And I just like for us to think about that this morning, that not only did he have all this knowledge, you know, we can have a lot of good ideas sometimes. We can talk about these ideas that we have and things that we think should be done and could be done possibly, and then then we find ourselves unable even to take the first step of actually accomplishing it. But that's not so with Jesus Christ. Not only did all of the engineering of the universe, not only did he understand it and know how to do that, he had the ability, had simply had the ability to do it, the ability to make it happen. Not only to build it, not only to put it out there, but then to sustain it and to keep it there. Marlon talked about that this morning, that if the sun were to move a little bit, we would freeze or burn or just go away. And not only did he have, but he had the power to fulfill it. I know that maybe I'm speaking about things that are just feels like it's over our heads this morning. I realize that. But there's, I think that in what I see happening in the world around us is that view of God is being lost. And Jesus Christ is now my buddy that I once had someone tell me that, oh, I love Jesus. He goes with me wherever I go. And he's very personal, and we'll be getting to that some in the later. This is simply a foundation. But Colossians 1:16 says, I know you're familiar with this. Colossians 1:16 says this. Says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I've wondered already what fuels the sun? Where does the fuel come from? Is there anyone here that can light a fire that will burn indefinitely without anybody adding any fuel? Where does the fuel come from? And I thought of that burning bush that Moses saw. Moses actually saw that happen when there was this bush that was burning. He sustains it. He sustains it. Simply by his power. The cells in my body, the ability to for the body to recreate new cells and to sustain your body and not only your body, but the billions of people on the earth all at the same time. And those are just two things. We could just go on and on and on. All of creation speaks of him. He created and sustains. I know that these are things we believe here. As I look across the room and I see a lot of young people, and I just know that these things are under attack. These things are under attack in the world in which we live. When creation, the thought that God created all things, is spoken of as being foolish and outdated and but this morning there's no other explanation. There simply is no other explanation. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Created all things. He sustains all things. We're here this morning because he gives us the ability to be here this morning. And we ought to worship him. We are not our own this morning. We'll turn to a few scriptures. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 18 says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but had said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. The verse before that, Jesus had said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So they sought the more to kill him because he was making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. We'll stop reading there. But I wanted to pull out here that Jesus himself declaring to be God. Of course, they despised him for that. But the second thing here they wanted to pull out is he says in verse 22 that he hath committed all judgment unto the Son. The Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Then if we turn to chapter 12 of John, there's another thought. I don't know if I understand all these things, but I'd like to just for us to consider this morning. In verse 44 of chapter 12, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." I don't know if you catch that, but he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. I am not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken to myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment that what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And this verse just stood out to me. I know there's so many verses that we could turn to, but Jesus said here that the words that I speak will judge you. And I was thinking of that. You know, he said, the Father hath committed the judgment to me. But he said, I'm not here to judge you either. He said, the words that I speak will judge you. And as we go through life, and just today, I just want this to be very simple today. I just like to make the connection in our hearts, in our minds. I'd like for us to make a very simple connection between Jesus Christ and his word. And let no man destroy your faith in that. When they say, here is Christ, and they say, there is Christ, there's all kinds of commotion, there's all kinds of things going on. I'd like for us to just remember that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word will judge us. And we can draw close to Him. We can draw near to Him through His Word. Revelation 19, now we will take up reading where Marlon left off there in Revelation 19. Marlon read verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. He is called Faithful and True, and he is faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And in the beginning was the Word, and the end of all things, when the Lord Jesus returns, he will still be the Word of God. He will still be the Word. And the armies which were in heaven followed upon him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. What is that sharp sword that goeth out of his mouth? It's the word of God. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Verse 16 says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I think of that this morning. I think of just things that have happened here in the last day, and I think of just so many things, and I just, it's an encouragement to my heart this morning that we have the Word of God. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Word of God. And everything that He said will come to pass. Nothing that He said will fail. And I don't know how to put all that into words this morning. But for our children, just a few thoughts here this morning, a few applications. There's a lot of talk about loving Jesus, and many people do. God will judge whether they do or not. I know sometimes we sound pretty doubtful many times. But loving Jesus is loving the Word. Let's just simply engraft it in our hearts today that loving Jesus Christ, for me to love Him, is to love the Word of God. And when I say to love the Word of God, it's not, it's more than just, well, He said, you know, do this, and so I do this. It's loving His will. The Word of God is the entire will of God. That's Jesus Christ. And to love His will, we love Jesus Christ. And it's very simple. It's very simple. Keep it simple in your heart, so let no man destroy your faith. He that loveth me, Jesus said, is he that keeps my commandments. You know the verses, I was going to turn to them. He that loveth me keepeth my sayings. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Loving Jesus is loving the Word. Let's just I'd like to talk a little bit about the new birth, if you'd permit me to here. There's a verse in Peter that I've often just been blessed by, just the simplicity of it. Peter says here, being born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The new birth, in just a simple explanation, if I could just say it this way, it's when the Word of God is birthed in a man. When the heart in repentance it turns again to the will of God, the Word of God becomes alive, and there's a birth that happens. There's something, there's a regeneration, there's a renewing, there's something that happens in the inner man. It's an undoing of what happened in the garden. Can we say it that way? Eve, in her sin, she turned away from the commandment of the Lord. She turned away from the Word of God. She turned away from it, turned to the devil. And the new birth is restoring that, bringing us back to that. There is forgiveness of sins. There is forgiveness of sins in all of that. I know that. I mean, that's all. That's part of it. But the new birth is more than believing that I'm forgiven. It's more than believing that I'm forgiven. It's a renewing of the Word of God. It's a renewing of the Word of God in us. A turning again to the will of God, to embrace that with all my being. And we start wherever we start. We're all different places when we start. Nobody starts on top. Everybody starts wherever the Lord finds them. And there's growth. There's things that need to happen. There's a life that needs to be worked out and lived out. But there's a change in the heart, that there's a birth. There's something changed in the inner man. There's another thing. There's another thing that I would like to just talk to the children about. That no matter what men do, the Word of God will never change. It is unchangeable. The will of God is perfect. Because God is perfect. The will of God is perfect. It cannot change. Let no man talk to you about new revelations or new things that they have found, or things that are, do we know everything? No, but new things that are outside of the Word of God, if maybe I could say it that way. The Word, men can rewrite the book. Men can put it in different languages, and they can cut things out, and they can do all kinds of things with this book. But the Word of God is unchangeable. It cannot be changed. It won't change for me. It won't change for anyone. Is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, to today, and forever? The will of God will never change. Another application that we could make here is, it says all things were created by Him. All things. All things were created by Him and for Him. And that includes me. And I, just to the children here today, every one of you is created by Him and for Him. And you are not your own. You are not your own. You can do whatever you want to with that. He will let you choose. But you are created by Him and for Him, and He loves you. And He has a plan for your life. And let no man take thy crown. Let no man take that away from you. I'm created by Him and for Him. Do I call Him Lord? Have I humbled myself and allowed the Spirit of God to work in me a deep humility and repentance so that I can call Jesus my Lord and humble myself before Him, say, He is my Lord. What He says I will do, where He sends me I'll go, whatever it costs I will pay. Am I able to do that? Have I done that? And I trust many of us have. It's something that needs to be done again and again, I think, as the Lord reveals more things to us. Do I trust that if He sustains the universe and He holds the sun in its place and He keeps it burning and He does all these things, do I trust that He can sustain me? Do I trust that He can give me everything I need? Do I believe that? Now, I'm just challenged with that this morning. Early this morning, is God in control? Yeah, we think so. But how will it turn out? We'd like to know. We'd like to know right now. You know, that's how we are. Do I trust that He can sustain me? Do I trust that He can protect me? Can I trust Him with them? Can I trust Him with my future? And my courtship and my marriage and my job and my all those things, can I trust Him? Can I trust Him? Do I trust Him? Maybe that's a better question. Do I trust Him? And created for His glory. I'll just close with that. I originally had intended to go to verse 14 and talk about the Word was made flesh. But I will leave that for another time. So may the Lord bless each of you. And I know that I feel like it was, on those few verses, it was very incomplete. And I, is not in within our ability to, not my ability at least, to say what should be said in those verses. But may the Lord bless each of you.